Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Kind of some miscommunication slash planning out on the fly. I thought this was going to be on the agenda, and then I think, with knowing that I wasn't going to be here Monday, we decided to wait, and then it didn't get printed on today's agenda. So I say that beforehand, I have no problem if we take action today or if we kind of give a will of the board, and then if we need to officially bring it to the next meeting for the board's comfort.
Now, that may not seem like much, but that's the start of what was a, definitely an interesting portion of the meeting on Thursday at Santa Rosa County Commission. You heard, on Friday, you had David was reporting on this, but I've learned some things since then that I think are worth understanding about this. It had to do with a dispatch center that Santa Rosa County is going to build, and a vote between which company to pick for the contract, or at least to enter into the negotiation for that contract, because basically, as Sam Parker was explaining, there was not on the agenda, so this was an add-on, even though they did not officially vote to add it on. I don't believe I heard that in the meeting. But it was meant to, he wanted it to be on the agenda, but he had not been at the agenda conference, the committee meeting, and so it wasn't officially on the agenda. But he brought it up because it was, you know, it had been done, in his opinion, wrong, and he wanted to fix that problem.
Majority of the commissioners that actually ranked one company first, regardless of who those three commissioners are, it's kind of the world we live in where a majority rules type board. It, even the median would have ranked the same company first, but due to one outlying score, the average bumped it to within, I think, like 1 or 2 tenths of a point difference.
In case you think, median and average are the same thing, what he's getting at is that there were 5 scores, 1 from 3 commissioners for this one company, 2 from 1 commissioner that was a back and forth, and then 5 for another one. The median would have been, the middle point, which is 1. Okay, the mean is you take all those numbers and you divide by 5. If you do the mean average, one company wins. If you do the median, the other company wins. So, it's a matter of process. And process became everything in this conversation because the company that everybody but James Calkins picked to either be number 1 or number 2, most of them picked to be number 1, Caldwell, was not going to get the contract. And there's more to why in just a second. In any case, I'll just kind of let Sam finish this out.
So really, I wanted to bring this to the board. I did ask Mr. Caldwell to be here today because I told him that I was going to discuss this with the board and say, in my opinion, based off the score sheets, I think that we should direct staff to negotiate with Caldwell and Associates.
So they go through a whole process and they eventually get down to 5 candidates. They score them 1 through 5, 1 being good and 5 being bad. And when the scores all came back, Clemens Rutherford was the winner, but they didn't realize that apparently at the time that had been announced in the prior meeting. They just knew that there was a winner, and they were kind of, when they realized that's what had happened, and then when they looked at the score sheets, they realized, oh, well, that's not what the majority of the board actually wanted. The majority of the board wanted it to be Caldwell, a local organization, instead of one that's out of town. Tallahassee, I believe, for Clemens Rutherford. So Sam says, let's change that ranking and let's pick the Caldwell firm. Now, this sounds like boring government stuff. Just wait. We'll get there. Kerry Smith, Commissioner Kerry Smith.
In our world, we live in a three-vote world. Three makes everything up here. And my when I see three number ones for a firm, I believe that should be the winner. I get how we did it. We did it like we're scoring gymnastics or something. And we put in the metrics of a 5 coming in and destroying those metrics. So
now, that's your first hint at understanding what happened here. Thinking about gymnastics or other Olympic scoring, the idea of you drop the top and the bottom. Why? Because, if the French judge really loves the performer, right, you don't want that to factor. And if the Russian judge really hates a performer, you know, that you don't want that to factor, right? So you take the high and the low out, like gymnastics or something else, and that becomes relevant because what he's saying is it threw everything off the way that one person scored it. So James Calkins, getting ready to be nominated to win an Academy Award.
I just want to say, I find this absolutely disturbing that this is even brought up right now. And I'll tell you why. Every single one of you board members knew the rules before we took the vote. You knew the system. You voted on this system countless other times. But because of the candidate that you wanted didn't win based on the system, you want to rig it now in favor of your chosen candidate.
At least half of what he said in that statement is false. I'll explain where the things are false, but I want to get let him have a little bit of his say because he's going to get as worked up as James Calkins can possibly get.
I think it's disgusting, and it's the good old boy politics of Santa Rosa County that people are tired of. And if you all change the rules in the middle of the game and accept another company, that the company that won the bid will sue this county and win. And should win.
So now he's not just objecting and not just engaging in political/campaign rhetoric. Here, Mr. Calkins, would you like this box to stand on while you dispense your soap advice? But he's actively saying that he thinks somebody who sues over this should win. He's actually taking a position against the county, saying that, the county would have legal liability and the county would deserve to lose if a lawsuit comes forward on this. By the way, there's an attorney in the room, Tom Danheiser. And if he's so confident that this would be the basis of a lawsuit where they should prevail, I mean, he could just ask the attorney, Mr. Danheiser, what do you think? Now, nobody did. I wish somebody would have. Because I suspect, I can suspect what he would have said, but he didn't get asked. But if you're sure that the problem here is that what they're doing is underhanded and opening the county up to legal liability because the winner is going to be made the second place, firm, and then somebody else is going to get the contract. If that would open the county up to liability, that's his job. That's literally his job, is to tell you, no, bad idea. You're going to lose this lawsuit. So instead of, James Calkins, legal expert, I would like to know Tom Danheiser's view on this. Unfortunately, nobody asked. I suspect he would have jumped in pretty quick if he knew, as James Calkins was so certain, that this would happen.
Now you want to come up here, add this to the agenda, change the rules in the middle of the game. I think it's wrong, and I think the people of Santa Rosa County will think this is disgusting. So I will fight tooth and nail against this.
So when I first heard this story on Friday, and I thought, I had not yet watched the meeting, the Thursday meeting, because I was watching the UFO hearing on Thursday. So I didn't watch this meeting on Thursday. So I heard the story and I thought, I bet I know what's going on here, but I want to get more information. So what I did is I immediately, after the show, I got a hold of the public information officer in Santa Rosa County and got the voting cards. Because it didn't make any sense what I had heard. It sounded like most of them wanted Caldwell, and yet somehow Caldwell didn't get the bid. And it seemed to be James Calkins who was holding up the process. And so my suspicion was, there's a lot of different ways to run a vote like this. You can rank them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You can score them. You could score 90, 92, 94, and then somebody could score, potentially really low. That's what I thought I would find, is that, four of them had scored Caldwell at like a 90 and James had scored at like an 8. and so when you add them up and divide, well, it wasn't quite that bad, but it was basically that bad. Because when you look at the score sheets for these, here's how they break out, okay? You've got Ray Eddington gave Caldwell first place and Clemens Rutherford second. Croft, fifth, HOK, third, and Sam Marshall, fourth. Just kind of make sure you keep those first two numbers in mind. Sam Parker, Caldwell, first. So that's two first places. Clemens Rutherford, second. And then 4, 5, and 3 for the other. It's not all that important. Commissioner Wright, number one for Caldwell. Number two for Clemens Rutherford. So right there you have three commissioners who picked Caldwell as their top. 4, 3, 5 for the remaining three. Kerry Smith, on his scorecard, started with a first place for Caldwell. That would have been four commissioners, and then second for Clemens Rutherford, but he crossed him out and switched him, so he made Clemens Rutherford first and Caldwell second, and then 5-4-3 for the remaining three. And then James Calkins. James Calkins scored Clemens Rutherford first and Caldwell fifth. 4-2-3 for the remaining three. So he tanked it. I mean, that's the way I read it. is he went into that scoring evaluation and thought, I am going to screw this up for Caldwell, and I'm going to give it to somebody else. And he did. And when you add them up, that gives the win to Clemens Rutherford. The only question really is, well, I mean, there's another option. Okay, there's another option. The other option is that somehow in the insightful business mind that James Calkins possesses, he saw something. He saw something deeply problematic and flawed about Caldwell and their bid. And he realized it, even though he didn't say it in the meeting. He realized it and scored them dead last in a group where everybody else recognized the top two as the top two, and three of them had it as number one. In fact, 3.5, because, again, Kerry Smith flipped his vote. But here's James Calkins scoring the top of the, certainly top two, scoring it last place. So that's one possibility, that he sees something nobody else saw, and that's why he scored them dead last. Here's another possibility. He had some personal reason. I won't say beyond that, but some personal reason. I mean, I will say more, but I'm saying, you know, I won't imply anything worse than that. I'll just say he had some personal reason for wanting Caldwell to lose his contract. And so then the question is, well, why? Well, it came up in the meeting. It was hinted at. Nobody quite wants to come out and say this in the meeting. They kind of hinted at it, but there's one of these things where you just kind of have to know enough about the history, okay? You have to know enough about the history here to realize that basically James Calkins, you know, if he's gonna have a reason, the question is, what was the reason? Well, this firm, Caldwell, is heavily involved in and is going to be the firm that's doing the medical examiner's office. Oh, yes. It's always the medical examiner's office. More on that later, by the way. But the medical examiner's office that's going to get built in Santa Rosa County is a Caldwell project. So something about them and the ME, what would that be? Well, it's not necessarily his objection to the project, although he has been in Santa Rosa County. He has been the one sticking on this project, saying that it's too expensive, too much, too big, which, okay, fine, all right. But, you know, way more against it than really just the facts would seem to justify. But who's the operations manager for the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office? It's Dan Schebler, the former county administrator that was at war with James Calkins, that James Calkins made it his mission in life to oust from being the county administrator, and brought so much repeated faux outrage from people that eventually it became untenable, to the point where people were hating their jobs, didn't want to work in the county anymore because of all of the unpleasantness that James Calkins caused at the county. So, two possibilities. James Calkins, just in complete integrity, saw something in the Caldwell project that he just recognized should not go forward, and ranked what everybody else said was the top or the top two at least. He ranked them dead last, or he had a personal reason. He was the one bringing the personal animus, the making sure to try to, you know, rig the outcome into this because of the personal animosity he has towards the former county administrator who is now running the project that Caldwell has won in another context. You decide which one you believe. But I'll tell you this. There's this old concept that the louder people yell and scream about how virtuous and good and right their motives are and how evil something is that's being done by somebody else, the more skeptical you should become that they're doing that to hide something else. Because if you listen to this meeting, and I certainly don't have time to play all the clips, but if you listen to this meeting, the other commissioners are just calm, and actually they're pretty understated in the way they're presenting this, and Calkins is looking for that Oscar. Why? Because he thinks he's got hay to be made by distracting people away from never giving an explanation about why he ranked them dead last, which cannot be justified. 524 on News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer. Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, this Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be discussing Summer Restaurant Week, Atlas Beverage Class, Jackson's Open for Lunch, Jackson's and Julia, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's all this Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who pay attention to every little detail. The ones who fuss, tinker, and sweat the small stuff. Because you know the tiniest thing can make the biggest difference when it comes to keeping business moving. We get it. We're the same way. Offering access to product experts to help you quickly and easily find what you need. So whatever your industry, you know you're always getting professional-grade products. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A place to stay informed about what's happening locally and find a deep sense of belonging and community. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
You're a prisoner?
It's all part and parcel, the whole genie gig.
Phenomenal cosmic powers!
Itty bitty living space.
Five 26, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. By the way, one other thing, there's so much here to kind of explain, but with this whole charade about the outrage over the voting on this emergency dispatch center in Santa Rosa County, one of the things that James Calkins kept arguing is how they had broken their process, they had changed their process, they had always done it differently. Number one, they had never done it this way before. They had always in the past done it, and they don't do this very often, where they do these RFQs where companies bid. But when they've done them in the past, what they do is the staff culls it down to some medium-sized list, like 5 or 8, and then they vote, and then they pick the top 3, and then from those 3, they pick the winner. And had they done that, Caldwell would have won. This was the first time it had been done a different way, and it came at a weird time, you know, in like sort of, you know, working on budgets and all that kind of stuff. And even, you know, Colton Wright explained that he should have caught that and that they had done it differently in the past. And Sam Parker said he should have caught that and that they had done it differently in the past. I mean, and the notion that like somehow they voted and they violated a policy that they all understood. Well, that's not true either. There was no vote. There was no such direction. And they even asked the county administrator and he said, no, that's not true. So remember when I said like half of what James Calkins said in that statement was just false? At least. At least. 5:28 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, a longtime friend and business associate of Hunter Biden is expected to testify on Capitol Hill today. Devin Archer will appear before the House Oversight Committee, likely share details about foreign ventures and meetings with Hunter. That testimony could shine a bit more light on which the level President Biden was allegedly involved in those dealings. The Ukrainian minister that oversees the country's army of drones says there's likely going to be more drone strikes on the way. After drones hit buildings in Moscow on Sunday morning, Russia's defense ministry said drones hit 2 commercial buildings and said a 3rd drone was destroyed before it got to Moscow.
Tell me Army of Drones isn't a metal band. I'm just
saying. Oh, that would be a great band name, wouldn't it? Gas prices surging to an 8-month high right now. AAA says the national averages of regular gas is expected to hit about $3.75 a gallon across the nation, 17 cents more than it was a week ago.
Wow, yeah, no, it's up.
My pocket's
it's
feeling
up
that
everywhere.
One.
Where we go, it had been 301 and 330. I've seen this all across when we do our gas price. It's funny because you can always see it happen the day it happens. And this was like, it happened today, and it happened again today, and it happened again today. So the last 3 days, all last week, it's been going up quite
and
a bit.
It always happens right when you tell yourself, I should get gas now, but yeah, maybe I'll wait till the morning, you know, and then it's 30 cents more.
Yeah, and you can't really invest in gas. You know, you can't like buy a bunch of containers and then hold it because the gas goes bad.
Just have a pump installed on your lawn.
Right. David, thanks so much for the update. 5:30 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going on? Did you see? This is so cute. I love little local things like this. Did you see that somebody submitted a picture of the aliens that landed on the beach over the weekend? You know the UFO house on the beach? Somebody had dressed up in some, like, red robes and green face paint and made themselves up to look like a... I'm not saying it's not a real picture, just to be sure. But maybe. Maybe. But it was very entertaining to see that over the weekend, you know. Just people having a little bit of fun with UFO house.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A former business partner of President Biden's son, Hunter, Devin Archer, meets privately today with the House Oversight Committee.
The New York Post reports Archer is expected to testify that Hunter Biden would introduce his father, then Vice President Joe Biden, to foreign business partners or possible investors during meetings.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz in D.C. Archer's appealing a one-year sentence for defrauding a Native American tribe. A property manager at former President Trump's Florida estate has his first court appearance today. Carlos de Oliveira is accused of trying to delete surveillance video. New York House Democrat Dan Goldman on ABC's This Week.
That is quintessential consciousness of guilt, which shows that he knew what he was doing was wrong.
Trump attorney Alina Hava on Fox News Sunday.
If President Trump didn't want something turned over, I assure you, that is something that could have been done, but he never would act like that. Okay, he is the most ethical American I know.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, 75 right now. It is partly cloudy in Pensacola. The trial of Jessica Bortle. Now, that's the woman accused of slamming a meal table into her hospitalized daughter's midsection, ultimately causing her death in July of 2021, was found guilty last Friday on lesser charges. Bortle was convicted on child abuse and battery charges. Originally, she'd been charged with negligent manslaughter. Bortle has repeatedly said what happened at the hospital that day was an accident. Her daughter died in July of 2021. Bortle now booked into the Escambia County Jail to await sentencing on those charges. Police in Pensacola still investigating after three people were shot at the Northwoods Apartments on East Olive Road Saturday. PPD says all three victims were being treated for their injuries. Now, as of this morning, right now, no update on their conditions and no word on a suspect as well. Pensacola police investigating another case of anti-Semitic graffiti as well. Now, this time it was over near the new Blake Doyle Skate Park. The fifth case of anti-Semitic graffiti that's been found here in recent months in Pensacola. The graffiti was found scribbled on street signs this time, not far from the synagogue that was previously targeted. In earlier cases, bricks had been written on and thrown, in one case, into a Jewish community center and also through and breaking a synagogue window. And Pensacola police say they cannot say for sure that all of the cases are connected until an arrest is made. Governor Ron DeSantis accusing the state of Illinois of diminishing what it means to be a citizen of the U.S. Governor Ron DeSantis tweeting yesterday about a bill that was signed last week by Illinois' governor that allows non-citizens to apply for jobs as police officers. DeSantis says that allowing illegal aliens to become police officers shows citizenship is meaningless to the left, and says that in Florida, they value the citizen officers that serve and protect our communities. Well, a man was hurt after being bitten by a shark in Manatee County. The West Manatee Fire District says the man was bitten on his lower leg yesterday off of Anna Maria Island near Bean Point. He was taken to the hospital right now. No update on his condition. And rescue officials say the man was in his early 20s. It is 5:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We're going to be seeing some heat today with temperatures warming up near 96 degrees, feeling into the triple digits, 20% chance of a stray shower. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. Dangerous heat will continue for Tuesday with a high near 99, feeling much warmer with a 10% chance of rain. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richards from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it is 75 in Pensacola, 79 in Gulf Breeze, and 74 in Milton. Your next news at 6 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing? These are words you hear a lot about. But what exactly do they mean? How do you get started? Where do you get started? Well, you can start by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this morning at 10:30. Join me, Tasca King. I'll show you how to navigate the changing and fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. This morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
We began evaluating this back in 2018 as we were looking at competing for the TH-73 program, the Navy's new advanced helicopter training system. We have an aircraft, the AW-119. We knew that that great product with some modifications could serve as a perfect training aircraft for the student naval aviators of the United States Navy. In fact, those that leaded those modifications were former naval aviators themselves, and a few of those people are here today.
That says Clyde Waltman. He is the CEO of Leonardo Helicopters, was in town on Friday for the groundbreaking ceremony at the expansion that's being built over on NAS Whiting Field. This is a really unique project, one of its kind project, where basically private aviation is going to have access to the ramp for NAS, for an air station for the Navy. And, that's an amazing thing in and of itself, but they're going to serve there as the, MRO, the maintenance, repair, and overhaul for the new Thrasher helicopters, the trainers that are about one-third total delivered right now. They're going to, be the supply area for those, but also for other aircraft that operate along the Gulf Coast and in the region, the vicinity. Right now, they're kind of doing this over at the airport, at Peter Prince Airport, but they're going to build this facility in 18 months. It's going to be right there at the southeast edge or the eastern edge of NAS Whiting Field. And it's just, this is a huge economic development project because of the jobs that are going to be created and the other businesses that are going to come there. It's a really big deal for Santa Rosa County.
Those of us with any experience in acquisition know that it's not just a great product, but how it can be supported, the quality parts and quality repairs and people. The fleet of TH-73 Thrashers, which are now here, that we build in Philadelphia, now we've delivered aircraft 57 out of 130. They've already begun to positively impact the training efficacy of our naval forces.
Yeah, because they've been flying a training helicopter that, Waltman himself trained. This has been one of those, 40 years it's been the airframe that they've been using. It's forever. And there's all kinds of problems with that, aside from the fact that they're just old. They break down a lot, helicopters make landings, unscheduled landings a lot flying out of any. Now, in one sense, that's good for learning how to do that, but that's not the ideal. The other problem is that they're just a very different kind of cockpit and functionality than everything else the pilots learn. Like, they go into the Texan and they learn how to fly, and it's one thing, and then they kind of jump back a half a century into the trainer that they use now, and then they jump forward again to modern technology when they get into the, you know, the actual planes that they're trained, or the helicopters that they're actually training on. They fly on the fleet, you know, the you know, for like the Blackhawk or something like that. So it's just, this is much, much, much better. And like I said, this is a big deal. You had, you know, State Senator Doug Broxson was there talking about how this is important for NAS Whiting Field.
There's no county in the state that I know of that has done a better job of insulating a facility than Santa Rosa. We were one of the first counties to put insulation around this park to make sure there is no encroachment.
Right, and also just the importance of securing the military missions, as we heard with the very concerning news that maybe Air Force Special Operations Command, 1st Special Operations Wing there at Hurlburt was going to move, and the command was going to move out of Hurlburt. And they didn't, of course, but still big concern, especially with so much economic input from military missions in this area.
Today is a great day for us, but it's also potentially a symbolic day of how important this is. Later today, we will probably get some news on Hurlburt Field about the future mission. That has actually a bigger economic indicator for Okaloosa than it does for us. But this facility generates over $1 billion of revenue for Santa Rosa County. It's a big deal.
And protecting it, sending a message to the Pentagon that we're here for it, that's all extremely vital. Now, it's one thing, like, I know a lot of people, it's kind of this weird situation where, you know, everybody knows NAS Pensacola because you know the Blue Angels, because you know the museum, the lighthouse, you know some of the woes for access recently. But, I mean, you kind of know but don't know the massive scope that that has economically, and even subsidiary fields like Cory Station, right? But Whiting is same kind of presence in terms of Santa Rosa County. And Whiting's actually where the pilots train. You know, that's actually where we produce pilots. This is a big deal. Anything that's going to, you know, protect that, you know, enhance upon that, and especially create this public-private partnership, it's a big deal. So I talked a little bit after the event on Friday with Commissioner Colton Wright.
We're here with Colton Wright, the chairman of the Santa Rosa County Commission, District 5, Gulf Breeze and Tiger Point. Pretty big day for Santa Rosa County.
Yeah, this is a historic moment. Long time in the making, 20 years, in fact. Thanks to former Commissioner Don Salter and all the people that have been working on this for a couple decades. But it's a great day to see Leonardo breaking ground when this facility is put in place. It'll be the MRO facility for the TH-73 helicopter, which the U.S. Navy is using for training at Whiting Field.
Now, I tried to get Shannon to talk to me, but Shannon decided that he would defer to you. But I think Shannon Ogletree, your economic development director, has been just piling wins upon wins upon wins for this county, for jobs, for growth, for unique deals. You've got a bursting at the seams industrial park that's not even built yet. You've got this happening. I mean, what is the magic?
Well, let me start by saying stay tuned. There's a lot more to come. We should see a big announcement this afternoon, and I think you'll continue to see more announcements in the future and more projects that Shannon and the board and the team is working on. Shannon always hits it out of the park. There's a reason why everyone's after him, and we're happy to have him. And let's face it, you know, those of us, the elected officials, we tend to get the FaceTime, the airtime, and the credit, but it's really the people behind the scenes who are doing all the work. The staff.
I tried to give it to him.
He wants to send it to me, but no, we couldn't do without Shannon and a lot of people out there. Space Florida, you know, their help. You know, the governor's been a huge help to us, and frankly, Leonardo, you know, and their vision with the aircraft, getting the contract, and then them willing to make the investment here. This is a huge investment in this facility, and I think this is the first of many things that Leonardo will end up doing here over the next few decades.
You know, when you, you know, your job sometimes is to go be an ambassador for your county, go to D.C., go to Tallahassee, talk with potential businesses, persuade them that Santa Rosa is a buy, to quote a former mayor of Pensacola, Ashton Hayward. How easy these days is that job?
Well, there's nothing about the job that's easy.
I mean, in terms of selling, you know, Santa Rosa, there's a lot of positive things going on.
Yeah, if you had something to sell, Santa Rosa is an easy place to sell, right? Santa Rosa County we have land, although technically everything's spoken for, but we're working on solving that problem and creating some more inventory. And look, when you look at, despite what county commission and city council meetings look like sometimes.
I'm well aware.
And we all know. despite that, though, when you look at the the group of people that live in the community that fully support the military mission, whether it be Army, Air Force, Coast Guard, Navy. You know, we have every branch here. A lot of people don't realize that. And, you know, it's the culture we've created in Santa Rosa County about support for our military. And, you know, it's easy to sell. Not to mention our congressmen and senators up in D.C. Are firm believers in what we do here. You know, they have strong roots as well.
Now, on the flip side of that, of course, there's challenges, right? I mean, look, Christian Wagley came and spoke in front of the commission recently, and he made the comment, look, 50,000 more people are coming in the next 15 or 20 years. I don't think we did that well at making the past 50,000 come here with infrastructure, particularly roads, but as you know, wastewater, all kinds of other things. What sort of lessons can you learn or have we learned so that the growth isn't just growth and then chaos afterwards to be fixed, but smart growth so that we're ready for it when it happens?
Yeah, well, two things. One, you can't do it the way you've always done it, right? You can't be afraid of change. And two, we cannot kick the can down the road. Oftentimes, elected officials like to do the politically expedient thing and pass the buck to somebody else, and we can't do that. You know, we need leaders to actually make the hard decisions and really look 10, 20, 30, 50 years down the road. You know, we've got to balance increasing housing density with providing proper infrastructure. There's a lot of things. You know, we've worked on a lot of housing issues, and I've had some meetings actually with Senator Broxson and others recently. And, you know, I think we have some more tools in the tool belt that the state has just given us, as long as it doesn't preempt us on some issues and doesn't have some unintended consequences. But we're going to explore every option we can, particularly to provide housing for our military folks and our what I'll call our working class, the service industry folks in our community as well.
Last thing, I know you're kind of big into various kinds of, I'll just call them X activities. You like racing and jumping and all. I picture you as the adventure guy.
Yeah.
The skate park in Pensacola, the skating track in Milton, that Skate World. We've got American Magic here now. What's the thing about that dimension of the sort of recreational life here in this area that gets you the most excited that's recently happened?
Probably a skate park. I mean, they're all pretty exciting.
In Pensacola?
In Pensacola, but that's a legit skate park. Long time in the making,
yep.
like any project. But man, that was really exciting. I will say the one thing I wasn't thrilled about is bikes were supposedly not allowed, so I haven't taken mine out there.
Well, you've got the little track in Milton. It's an okay little track.
Yeah, it's a pump track. Stay tuned. I've got some ideas on where we could possibly try to do a pump track somewhere in South Santa Rosa County if I can get the support for it. But yeah, I just like adventure. I mean, people say you only live once. Really, you only die once. So make life worth living, you know. Have a good time. Have adventure. Don't do it at someone else's expense. But life is what you make it, you know. It's those memories and those stories, those relationships, and the things that really make life worth living.
Chairman, thanks so much for the time.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. No, it's a huge day. It's a huge development. What happened on Friday in Santa Rosa County up in Milton, North Milton. 547 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And look, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, I recommend Frontier Motors. And, you know, part of the reason why is because they'll help you buy cars from somebody else, which is weird, you know, for a used car place that they would actually help you buy a car from somebody else. But they will, and here's why. They figure they can, and it just helps you avoid making bad decisions. What I mean is, if you go to buy a used vehicle, there's a couple of things you want to do. Number one, you want to get a Carfax. Now, Carfax is a very good first step. It will give you all of the preliminary information that you want. The only thing is, it kind of depends on people having reported the repairs that they do. And if they don't report them, they're not on there. And so, you know, crashes can happen that aren't reported. But I'm just saying, do a Carfax to start. And I personally recommend that you, before you buy any used car, you get a used vehicle inspection by a mechanic that you trust, okay? So if you're going to some, you know, corner lot or some person on Facebook Marketplace or wherever you're encountering your car purchase, it's not Frontier, and they don't give you a Carfax, no big deal. You just call Frontier and say, hey, here's the VIN. Andrew says you'll do this. Yeah, no problem. And then you'll at least have a piece of information that you didn't otherwise have. Now, why would they help you buy a car from somebody on Facebook? Because they can. Because they can, you know, they don't mind helping, and they want to make sure that people have a better chance to avoid making bad decisions, and that's it. So when I say that Frontier is serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, I mean that.
Naval Air Station Pensacola has a significant economic impact in our area. It employs more than 16,000 military and 7,400 civilian personnel, and the headquarters for Naval Education Training Command, a command which combines direction and control of all Navy education and training. There's a lot more you can know by tuning in this morning at 9 and hear what's happening at NAS Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hurricane season is here, and making sure you're ready is key if you need to evacuate. Evacuations typically don't have to be hundreds of miles. Having at least half a tank of gas ensures you can evacuate the necessary tens of miles to a safe, sheltering location when a storm threatens your community. Check with nearby friends and family now and have a plan in place for what to do if you are ordered to evacuate. Visit halfwayfullhalfwaythere.com to learn about more ways to be prepared.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Football season is fast approaching, and football fans are some of the most loyal fans you can find. We have all the games that the football fanatics will be hearing this season. Put your business in front of all of these consumers. Support the teams and fans like the Florida State Seminoles, UWF Argo football team, the Friday night tradition of high school football, as well as the top NCAA and NFL football games all season long. Jump into the season and make your business score with our very affordable packages. Call us today at 850-262-6000.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola.
Absolutely awesome.
News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Looks like you've been missing a lot of work lately.
I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob.
Good morning, 551 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We have another special called meeting for the city of Milton. I kid you not. You cannot make this up. Fourth one. Remember the first one? This is all started with the Scott Collins not being hired as the, you know, city administrator. You got the first one was to something, you know, about Alex Andrade, the state attorney. The city attorney. Not trying to take Ginger Madden's job. Anyway, then the second one was about how he screwed all this up. And then that got canceled. The first one got canceled. The second one got canceled. Then the third one was how his communications were unprofessional. And then that one was a total dog and pony bleep show. I mean, it just was. It was such nonsense. There's another one tonight. And this one is like an add-in to the regular, I think it's the executive committee meeting that's tonight. I still have trouble keeping track of which meeting is which in Milton because I think it doesn't matter and it's also silly. But okay, I mean, not that the meetings are all silly, but the structure is, every place is a different structure. Anyway, and they've added now a thing. I assume it's the mayor who's added it, but as before, there's like no information online. I have been told that it is about the clerk in this case, Dawn Molinaro, and some of the emails and communications that have involved her. So I don't know whether, you know, Heather Lindsay called it or whether one of the other city council members called it, but we're going to have another party tonight at the Milton City Council chambers. I'm sure that it'll be fantastic. I have more on that. I don't know if I want to talk about that just yet or not, but I have an interesting story for you about Milton beyond what you might already know. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
They should start putting those meetings on pay-per-view.
Oh,
they
my
could
God.
Do away with all oh, other city taxes.
That's everything.
It'd be crazy.
Charge admission, solve the money crisis. That's right.
The heat wave is back. I'm not sure it ever went away, but record-setting temperatures expected to move through the south. Triple digits all across Texas, Louisiana, here in Florida as well. That's expected here for the next several days.
I like there's all these memes on social media about the heat. You know, one is like, you know, where are you at in the grand scale of heat? And, you know, it's hell's front porch.
Yep. I saw that one too.
It's a heat advisory out today, so don't go outside between the hours of 11 a.m. and November.
Yeah. You know? A federal judge dismissing former President Trump's $475 million defamation lawsuit against CNN. The lawsuit claimed that CNN's use of the phrase "the big lie" to describe Trump's alleged efforts to overturn the election created a comparison with Adolf Hitler and Nazism. The judge ruled that the network's statements were all opinion.
Yeah, this was the weirdest lawsuit. I didn't even know this one was happening. And he was, you know, claiming that calling his election lies the big lie made people reminded people about Hitler and the lie about the Nazis and that, you know, about the Jews, excuse me. And that's what he was suing, was defamation over that. And the judge is like, come on. So, you know, just I read somewhere that he has spent $40 million on legal fees.
Yeah. Yeah.
$40 million
there,
coming
yeah.
like out of his like campaign PACs. Just a note. You know?
Right, absolutely.
And of course, defenders will say, well, yeah, if they wouldn't keep charging him with everything there is, he wouldn't have to spend all this money. Well, yeah, but also lawsuits like this. So, sorry, go ahead, David. True. I interrupted you.
Oh, no, that's okay. And the mayor of Anchorage, Alaska, says he wants to send homeless people in his city to Los Angeles. He said last week buying a plane ticket to L.A. would be cheaper than housing them in Anchorage. And he also said that L.A.'s got a nice, warm climate that they might enjoy.
But the problem is you're sending them to the wrong city. Because if you send them to L.A., people are fleeing L.A.
That's true.
And they're fleeing San Francisco. What you got to do is send them to Sacramento. Because people are in-migrating to Sacramento. This is one of the interesting stories. I don't know if you saw the story about where people are moving in the United States. But, you know, the Florida, of course, is a destination. Like, everybody's moving here. On the map, you know, they have a color spectrum from, like, red to blue. And not based on politics, just based on where people are moving to or where they're moving from. Florida is, it's actually orange. Florida is bright orange, and California is bright blue. They are literally moving from California to anywhere else, which they've actually been doing for a long time. And New York is another sort of dark blue, and Illinois is another one they're moving to. But, yeah, I was kind of interested to see that the states within that they're moving to and from or that they're moving out of. Sacramento is actually moving into, but San Francisco and L.A., they're leaving. So, David, thanks so much for the update. Tampa was number three on the list. Let's see, Vegas and Phoenix. Oh, yeah, Phoenix. Why people move to Phoenix? I don't know. I lived there for 8 years. I wouldn't. People are moving to – or seven. People are moving to Phoenix. They're moving to Vegas. They're moving to Tampa and Orlando. And Miami, it's weird because a lot of people are moving into Miami and a lot of people are moving out of Miami at the same time. It's kind of a roughly net a little bit up, but, you know, a lot of people are actually leaving there and going to places like Kansas City, according to the story. So, but they're coming there from places like New York, Washington, and Boston. 437-1620, 437-1620. We got Candy's out again today, but Gracie's sitting in for her. Gracie, are you red meat, like, big part of your diet, small part of your diet, no part of your diet?
Yeah, not a lot, not a big... I like it.
Okay, so that makes us food incompatible, because in my house we live on red meat and, well, meat in general, you know, chicken and pork and steak and hamburger and all that. Have you seen the thing about the tick, the Lone Star tick?
I saw that on Friday.
Okay, so this story has been around for a couple of years at least. But apparently the Lone Star tick is becoming more prevalent. And when it first happened, I kind of wrote it off as a, you know, I'm not that it wasn't serious, but like, we don't have to worry about it. And then I saw the map of where they are, you know, and it used to be Texas. And now it's like everywhere up to basically north to Iowa and then east to like not quite Maine, like halfway through New York. So the whole southeastern United States at least has them. And if you get bit by not just the Lone Star tick, but if you get bitten by the Lone Star tick that's carrying this alpha-gal syndrome, as many as 450,000 people out of a population of 300 million. So that's more than I got to do my math real quick here. That's not a percent. It's like a tenth of a percent. But still, it's a lot of people who are then allergic to red meat. And, like, pork. So they get violently ill if they eat a steak or if they eat a a pork chop or if they eat a hamburger. And the symptoms are kind of, they're serious, but they're the kind of thing that a lot of people are not trained to identify. They're saying that the story I read was like half of the nurses and doctors didn't really understand the disease, didn't know how to identify it properly. And so, people are having this and it's, vomiting and hives and coughing and diarrhea and all this serious stuff. If you eat, beef or lamb or pork or venison, and you don't realize that you've contracted this thing from this goofy-looking tick that's kind of like the Black Widow version of the tick. It's brown with this bright white spot on it. Yeah, so, no, that's a horrifying thing to imagine. The only good news is you can still eat fish and chicken.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3 WNR.